you had one game to win, who would be the last superstar player to pick? James Harden is like the only guy I could think of who would fit in that category. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast, coming at you once again. As always, don't forget to like and subscribe and share this podcast episode. Let people know what we got going on over here. Don't forget to check out the website, of course, sportsandthereal.tv, sportsandthereal.tv. That's when you'll catch, where you'll catch the latest and greatest resources are out there and things of that sort. But appreciate you guys hanging out for a few minutes, as always. It's still playoff basketball. So I want to give you guys a recap and my thoughts on round one and then what I see happening in round two, all right? So let's get into it. So some high-level basketball in round one in some cases, and in other cases, not-so-high-level basketball, all right? So I'm going to start with the not-so-high-level basketball first. OKC and Memphis, not-so-high-level basketball. Actually, if you're Memphis, it was really terrible basketball, gross basketball. I told you guys after that game one that the series was pretty much over, right? It wasn't a blowout as bad as it was in game one. It was still several blowouts after that, all right? It was a garbage series, a sweep. Memphis really couldn't do nothing with OKC, their athleticism, their versatility. It had nothing for them. Ja gets hurt. Triple J is getting guarded by J-Dub, which he shouldn't be. He can't do nothing against nobody. His low post game is clearly not there. When he's not shooting step back threes, is essentially useless on the court, on offense at least. OKC showed why they're one of the favorites, right? They're like, they didn't actually, OKC didn't do anything that we didn't expect them to do already, which is they're athletic. They play sound basketball, smart basketball. They defend, they pass, they cut, they do all that stuff great. They're a great team. Truly an all-around great team, championship contender. If they win the championship, nobody's surprised. They're actually the favorites. So they show nothing differently, right? There was nothing to show plus or minus, nothing to say plus or minus about the OKC Thunder. So unfortunately, I had to spend time talking about the damn Memphis Grizzlies. And the Memphis Grizzlies are right now in a tough spot because this team as currently constructed is not good enough anymore to make deep runs in the playoffs, all right? Like I said, one, Triple J is kind of a waste of height. Unfortunately, he's tall, but he prefers to shoot step back threes and spot up and walk up threes than to get his butt in the post and yam on people. That's one. Two, they're not as good defensively as they used to be. All right. I don't know what it is. They're just not as good as they used to be. I mean, obviously the league has changed, but their tenacity, their toughness is just not there anymore as what they used to be even, say, you know, 2-3 years ago. Three, and this is probably the biggest point, my takeaway from Memphis and where they stand today. Ja Morant is still exciting. He can still get to the cup. He's still got bunnies. He's still all of that. But you know what Ja Morant also is? Ja Morant is a cautionary tale for young folks, right? As youngsters, we were all young, right? We thought we were invincible. We thought the world was ours. We thought we can do anything, right? There was nothing stopping us from doing whatever we wanted, right? A lot of us skirted the rules. We didn't care about things because we thought there was always tomorrow. We would always wake up tomorrow and we would always be young, right? When we were young, we thought we would always be young. We would always have energy. And that's what I'm trying to teach my kids that now. It's like, take advantage of the moment now. Take advantage of your youth now because you're not always young. And make smart decisions now because you're not always young. So Ja Morant is a cautionary tale that you're not always young. And you're not always going to get the same opportunities as you had in the past. Opportunities don't always come back around. So Ja was set to be the face of the league. He had the world in his hands, and then he dropped the ball. No pun intended. Ja dropped the ball. He had the opportunity to be the man, to be the face of the league, up and coming star, crazy hops, crazy game, clutch. He had it all. He had the personality. He had it all. And unfortunately, stupid mistakes cost him a lot of time. And now he's starting to get injured all the time. You're not always young. That's a message for the youngsters. Take advantage of your youth while you can. Take advantage of your opportunities while you can, because they don't come back around. They don't always come back around. Josh should have been the man, the face of the NBA. With his style of play, his personality, he had it all going. His team was winning. But he let doing it for the gram, he let, I don't know, popularity. Don't let impressing your friends keep you. Don't let impressing your friends keep you from achieving your destiny. That's a message for the youngsters. If you got kids, let them see this clip. Show them this clip. Ja Morant is a cautionary tale for youngsters. You're not always young. Opportunities don't always present themselves or come back around. So when you have it, don't throw it away doing stupid stuff. Don't throw opportunities away trying to impress friends. Don't throw opportunities away doing crazy stuff for the gram that you probably don't do in real life. Or doing stuff that'll cost you later. Because some decisions have everlasting consequences. And in Ja's case, he's still a great player and all that, right? He cost himself a lot. Yeah, he still makes a lot of money, sure. But he cost himself a lot by doing some dumb things to the point where the league had to suspend him and all that. Now he's getting hurt. Now Ja is getting hurt like an old person. Whether it's his fault or not, ankle here, or elbow there, or shoulder. Like, now the injuries are piling up. Now, I don't know if Ja's going to be able to play full seasons anymore. Take advantage of your youth, man. Don't let the opportunities pass you by. So I don't know where Memphis goes from here because, like I said, their two best players right now may not be championship material. May not be championship material. You still got Desmond Bane. I mean, they still got a nice young squad. Scottie Pippen Jr., he's a really nice player. So they still got some talent. They probably could add more talent, but even if they add more talent, I don't see them with this core winning much anymore. The window probably closed on Memphis, unfortunately. So that's my takeaway from the OKC-Memphis series. Let's move on. Minnesota Lakers also wasn't as interesting as I thought it was going to be. I picked Minnesota to win. And really, it was because I picked them to win for the beginning of the year, so I wasn't ready to back off yet. But Minnesota beat the Lakers 4-1, and it really wasn't as competitive as one would have thought, as I thought. I thought it was going to be a longer series. But the Lakers got exposed, man, and that was my fear. So as great as they were playing towards the end of the season, my fear was that when it got to the playoffs, they would struggle because they got too many one-dimensional people. They got too many guys who can defend but can't score, can't shoot. Or they got too many guys who are really great scorers like Luka and Austin, but who can't really defend. So Luka got exposed all the time, and Luka is still out of shape. And what is up with Luka's knee? Like, stay bleeding under his dang pants, his leggings. What is going on? But Luka's still out of shape. His knee, his back, struggling to get up the court. Like, at this point, it's like, is he acting or is this real life? Is this really him? Because it happens every year. The same thing is lumbering up the court, can't stay in the game, like bending over. And we thought he was going to be get in better shape hanging out with Bron. No, he ain't. So he acts old. LeBron is old. Like, obviously, LeBron ain't what he used to be. So at this point, it's really like Luka's the number one option. LeBron's the number two. But LeBron in the playoffs is, at least against Minnesota, he proved to be easily shut downable, which wasn't previously the case. So say what you want about these regular season stats. Bron is clearly slowing down. And Father Time, yeah, Father Time is undefeated. And right now, Father Time is catching up to LeBron. So the Lakers end the season in a 4-1, you know, gentlemen sweep, and they're going to Cancun. All the talk about J.J. Redick and is better than Darvin Ham, maybe. But in the playoffs, the outcome is the same. And the reason the outcome is the same, nobody wants to say this, is because you're dependent on an old guy to lead you to the promised land. So nobody's going to say this. Nobody's going to say, right, that, hey, man, it's probably best that the Lakers, if they're trying to win, which I don't think they are, they're trying to sell seats. If the Lakers are trying to win, it's probably best that you trade LeBron. Get some better assets, players that better complement Luka at this point, because LeBron's, it's clear that man's over the hill. But because he puts up regular season stats and every year you hear it, oh, I can't believe this guy's 39. Oh, I can't believe this guy's 40. Next year, oh, I can't believe this guy's 41. Oh, no 41-year-old's ever done this, and no 42-year-old's ever done this. And that's all you're going to hear. But the truth is, come playoff time, it's clear that he's old. And if the Lakers are trying to win, they would find a way to, like, get younger fast so that they're not reliant on LeBron having to put up 30 points and having to defend. Like, he tried to defend, but he's old. He moves different, bro. Great athlete. Maybe greatest athlete the NBA's ever seen, but he's old at this point. And to ask him to do all that ain't right. It ain't going to win you a chip. So LeBron is an issue, and it's not his fault that he's old, but the Lakers are trying to sell seats, so they don't care. They don't care. So LeBron's old, Luka's body is old. So you got two old heads trying to lead the Lakers. That's not going to win a damn thing. So when you run into the Young Bucks, you know, you run into the Anthony Edwards, hey, man, I could run all day. I could play all day. They can't keep up. Or if they would have ran into OKC, right, even though I thought they could give OKC trouble because of LeBron and Luka's pedigree and this and that, turns out I was wrong about that. OKC is too young. They would have ran him out the gym, up and down the court. Too young, too fast. But Minnesota was a perfect matchup because they never really had a chance to expose Rudy. Like the last game, game five, Rudy out there looking like freaking David Robinson, prime David Robinson. The Lakers made Rudy look like prime David Robinson, bro. Out there getting 20-20s. What is going on? What is going on? So, yeah. So, Minnesota moves on. Ant being the guy I expect him to be, I want him to be. I guess that continues, even though he kind of got carried that game five. And Adam Silver has to find a new script or a way to adjust that script so that LeBron can get his fifth ring and tie Kobe and be one away from Jordan. I didn't say that. I didn't say that, did I? Come on, Adam Silver. We know what's up. Pulling the levers, man, to crazy-ass trades? How'd that happen? I guess they gotta find another way to adjust the script, man, to get the happy ending. Because it ain't happening like this. This squad here, they look good. They look good in the regular season. I don't think this squad can compete in the playoffs. They would have to add more pieces, like more two-way players, because that's what the league is becoming for winning teams. The more guys who can, unless they're like elite at scoring, they gotta be able to defend. And Austin is good, but he can't hold nothing. And Luka is great, but he's even worse. Like, Luka just be watching. doing. Absolutely nothing. So Minnesota moves on. Clippers and Denver. Great, great series. I told y'all it was going seven. By the way, I was right about OKC. I was right about Minnesota. I was right about the Clippers-Denver series. Denver moves on in a game seven. That was a great matchup. Great matchup until game seven when it was over. So here's my takeaway, right? Besides Denver still being a force, right? And a force that people can have to deal with. James Harden is one of the greatest players in NBA history. He really is. I give it to him. James Harden is one of the best offensive players in the history of the NBA. But James Harden is also one of the worst star players when it comes to big games ever. Like, we always have these arguments. If you had one game to win, who would you take? One game, everything on the line. Is it Jordan? Is it Kobe? Is it Braun? You know what argument we never have? If you have one game, who would you not want to pick? Who would be the last superstar player to pick? If you had one game to win, who would be the last superstar player to pick? And James Harden is like the only guy I could think of who would fit in that category. He is literally the worst star player when it comes to big games. Like, if you're trying to win a game, elimination game, game seven, whatever it is, like win or go home, James Harden is not your man. He will fold. And that's unfortunate. If you go to, I had to look this up, and I was like, damn, this is sad, and it keeps going on and on and on. The last four games in which James Harden has been eliminated, all right? Here are the stats. 7 points, this is this year, 7 points, 2-for-8 field goals against the Nuggets. Last year, 2024, 16 points, 5-for-16 field goals, 0-for-6 from three against the Mavs. 2023, 9 points, 3-of-11 field goals, 1-for-5 from three against the Celtics. Remember that Celtics one? That was with him and Joel Embiid looking ridiculously terrible. 2022, 11 points, 4-of-9 field goals, 3. It goes against the Heat. It goes on and on and on. Like, what is it with James Harden that he can't, we remember the San Antonio series when, you know, Kawhi, you know, is hurt, and like he can't even get them over the hump in that series. Like, we remember these things, man. And it's like, what is going on? Game seven performances, right? We talk about this year, and we talk about 2023 against Boston, against Brooklyn, or with Brooklyn against Milwaukee, right? He only had like 22 points when they had a win. Houston against OKC, he had 17 points in 2020. Like, he is just, James Harden's career will go down as a great player, but in the playoffs, when you need him the most, he will be remembered as the guy you want the least on your team. And that is unfortunate. Because his offensive talent is really almost unmatched, his scoring ability. Yeah, I know he had the years when he was flopping and drawing fouls and getting, you know, foul baiting and all that. But truly, one of the most special talents in the NBA has ever seen is also one of the guys you never want in a do-or-die situation. I don't know anybody else who fits that category. Who else fits the category of great player? You'll take him any other time except in the big moments. I don't know anybody else who you would do that with. So because of that, the Clippers got blown out. Kawhi, who tried to hold the fort, couldn't do it alone. So they go out sad. That game was a terrible blowout. The bench comes in and makes it look better, but that game was long gone. Like, middle third quarter, it was a wrap. You expect your best players to be leaders, and unfortunately, when it comes to big moments, James Harden ain't that. He ain't leading nothing. He is leading you to an L, and that's unfortunate. So Denver moves on. People are talking about, oh, you know, give me James Harden over Dwayne Wade. Yeah, right. Give me the guy who's clutch in the playoffs. Give me the guy who doesn't back down. Give me the guy who always shows up, win or lose. Give me D-Wade. And he plays defense. But besides that, give me the guy who shows up. So the D-Wade, James Harden comparison was never a real comparison to me. It was never a real argument. And this just accentuates it. A guy that you will never be able to count on in a big game, you're going to take him over D-Wade? NBA champ D-Wade? Down 2-0 comeback D-Wade? Nah. Nah. That's wild, man. That's crazy to me. Like, watching that game yesterday, I'm like, damn, this is like deja vu all over again. All right, Denver moves on. Golden State-Houston was closer than I expected. But at the end of the day, Golden State, you know, wraps it up. Steph and Jimmy, their experience in big games, you can see it with Draymond, the way they play, the way they keep their composure versus the young Rockets. The Rockets are up and coming for sure. They got a bright future. I'll talk about that in a second. But Steph and Jimmy's experience, man, Steph in that game 7 started, you know, slow and then started making shots. It was like, damn, yeah, he's still like that. He still got it. He's still Steph. Some of these shots that Steph makes, it's just dumb. God. Unmatched talent. Steph Curry is a one-of-one singular talent. Nobody else ever, and nobody else will ever be. There will never be another Steph Curry. Right? Just like we say there's never going to be another Bron, there's never going to be another KD. These guys are singular talents in the way they are built, the way they play, their abilities. Like, there's not going to be another Steph Curry, man. So the Rockets did great. Like, the Rockets face guarded this cat all series. Like, they didn't care about nobody else. It was giving Draymond open shots. Like, the fact that the Warriors found a way to pull that series out is crazy because the Rockets' defense was legit. So shout out to Golden State. Shout out to Houston on a great series, young squad. But Houston does have a decision to make, all right? So the Rockets right now are like, Jalen Green's supposed to be their best player, their leader, right? But he really isn't. So they got a decision to make because, to me, Jalen Green is kind of in that spot where he's cast as a number one, as a 1A, but he's really not. Getting paid, going to get even more paid like a 1A, but he's really not. So he's really going to tease Rockets and Rockets fans like a number one option, but Jalen Green's not a number one option. He takes bad shots still, and his shooting's not that great. He's not that efficient, whether from two or from three. He doesn't make smart plays to me. He doesn't do anything else on the court, right, to help the team when his shot ain't hitting. So in that game 7, he kind of went out sad, not doing much. So I don't think he's the number one. He's explosive as hell, but he takes bad shots. And he doesn't do much else. So that's one. Two, the Rockets have Scottie Pippen 2.0 on their team and Amen Thompson. My God. This guy, I heard on a broadcast, they called him a human double team, a one-man double team. This guy is legit. Amen Thompson is a 2.0 Scottie Pippen. And I don't want to say, hey, if he works on a jump shot, because we tried that with Giannis, which I'll talk about later, right? I don't want to say, hey, if he gets a better as a jump shot, it's over. Some guys never get a jump shot no matter how much they work on it. It never works out. But this guy, as is, if he just continues to develop, he's going to get stronger. His IQ is going to grow. Like, he's already really smart defender, really smart player, makes smart plays. Like, if I'm the Rockets, I'm building around Sengun and Amen Thompson, and I'm finding me another number one, a real number one option. And it's not like those are just out there waiting, like falling off of trees. But if I'm the Rockets, I'm building around Amen Thompson, Scottie Pippen 2.0, and Alperen Sengun. Because I don't know if Jalen Green is a true number one option. So he may tease you guys along for a couple more years until you realize he's not a true number one. Well, listen to me. Listen to your boy. I'm telling you right now. He's not a number one option. It's clear in that series he had like one good game against Golden State. one good game for a guy who's supposed to be your best scorer, your leading scorer. He's good, explosive, got bunnies out of this world, but he's not a great defender. He could be better. He doesn't really create for his team. Like Fred VanVleet was like, you know, the creator probably, you know, last couple of games, Fred VanVleet was probably their best player. So I would build around the youngster Amen and Şengün and go up from there. But they got a great team, man. They got an up-and-coming team. Clearly, Ime Udoka is a really damn good coach. Unfortunately, he messed things up in Boston. Getting freaky dinky. Couldn't keep his stuff in his pants. You know what I mean? But he's a damn hell of a coach to get that team from where they were when he got there. Constant lottery team to now? Just the 2 years? Crazy. It's ridiculous. So shout out to Houston. Y'all got a squad, man. Y'all just need to find a couple more pieces, the right pieces. But y'all got some talent there on that squad for real. All right, so that's the West. I was 100% with the West. Like I said, OKC, Minnesota, Denver, and Golden State moves on. Eastern Conference, Cleveland and Miami, nothing to talk about in that series. Miami didn't have anybody to score the ball outside of Tyler Hero, and Cleveland knew that, so that was a wrap. Bam had a couple good games, but he's not a scorer. That's just not his personality. Bam is not – that's not what he does, all right? So Bam is a great third piece when it comes to offensive productivity. He's not going to be your – if he's your number two scorer consistently, you're not going to win much. And that's what happened in Miami, so they kept getting smacking and blown out. Cleveland proved to be a great team. What is Pat Riley going to do? So Pat Riley's really been resting because he's the godfather, right? He built the Heat culture. But at some point, somebody's got to say, hey, Pat, what are you going to do to make the Miami Heat better, to bring in a superstar, why Jimmy left, to bring in a superstar to help this team contend? Because Spoelstra is still a hell of a coach. He could still design defenses that give team problems. He's great schematically still. But at some point, you got to have talent to win in this league. So somebody's got to ask Pat Riley, hey, man, what are you going to do to help Spoelstra? What are you going to do to give me some pieces so that I can actually win games and not be just like a 40-win team, barely scrape by, get into the playoffs, and then, you know, get bounced out in the first round because I ain't got no real players? When is somebody going to hold Pat Riley to the fire? Is it, well, he's Pat Riley. He's a legend down there in South Florida now. They won chips with him. So, you know, ain't nobody else winning in South Florida. I guess the Panthers have won. Dolphins ain't winning nothing. I guess he gets godfather status. He gets to do whatever he wants, I guess. But somebody's got to tell Pat Riley, hey, man, this team ain't it. This squad ain't it. I guess Jimmy already told him, but he don't care. So Cleveland moves on. Nothing really to talk about in that series. Boston and Orlando. Orlando took two from Boston. I already told y'all Boston's going to repeat. All right? I already told y'all. I'll get to that in a second. I told y'all Boston's going to repeat, but Orlando took two from Orlando. Would have. I feel it in my bones. Orlando would have beaten Cleveland. Orlando got a nice young squad. They lack scoring as well, but their defense is top-notch. If they get more scoring, right, if they can get more scoring, they'll be a serious threat. Get Jalen back, Jalen Suggs back. They can do some things because he's like their engine, their heartbeat. All right, Paolo needs to get better, right, tighter with his shot. They'll be better. But Boston moves on 4-2. I picked that as well. I picked Cleveland right. I picked Boston right. Milwaukee, Indy. I mean, listen, I told y'all if Dame played, they probably could have had a better series. I don't know if they would have won. I picked Milwaukee to win, but based on the way that series played out, even if Dame played, I think Indiana still probably would have got them, maybe in a game seven. But turns out the Bucks are old, man. The Bucks are old, and that is a problem, boy. Once you start getting hurt, they start piling on. Once you start getting hurt in the NBA, like, they just keep going and going and going, elbow or shoulder. Now, my guy Dame has an Achilles. That's sad because I wanted to see him with Giannis, but he spent his prime. He gave his prime to the Blazers, which I'm fine with because he's a loyal cat. I love loyalty. I admire loyalty. But he gave his best years to the Portland Trailblazers, who at times, you know, didn't have enough around him to do anything with, especially in those Golden State dynasty years. So now he's old. When him and Giannis paired together, should have been a legit threat to the Celtics. They're both old. Either one's hurt or the other. Giannis is in what? Was this year 11? Dame's year 12? They're old, and the injuries are going to pile up. And also, Giannis's shot still ain't it. Giannis still ain't got a jump shot. After all, every year we're like, oh yeah, Giannis, if Giannis can get a jump shot. And this year, you know, his mid-range improved in a regular season, but in the playoffs, his mid-range was nowhere to be found. He couldn't make a damn free throw most of the games. Like, Giannis still doesn't have a shot. And that is what I'm saying when I say we're always talking about, well, if this guy get a shot and he's going to become a better shooter. No, it doesn't always happen. It doesn't always work out that, you know, so-and-so becomes a better shooter. Giannis is a slightly better shooter than he was before, but his shooting is still not a threat. And the Pacers knew that. So they were giving him those shots, and he would hit one and miss the next and miss the next. He'll go to the hole, they'll foul him. He, you know, hit 50% on free throws. So Giannis still ain't got a shot. His offensive skill set is still limited to what he's been doing for several years now. His fans ain't going to like that. Bucks fans ain't going to like to hear that, but it's true. Giannis's skill set has not improved much from what he was before. Slightly better. But his main skill set is getting to the basket, spinning, dunking on people. And as a result, when you don't have Dame on the outside or Chris Middleton on the outside, you become one-dimensional. He's not much of a creator. He's not setting teammates up, right? So it felt like it was just him out there a lot, even though Gary Trent had game, right? But it felt like it was just Giannis. So he needs, you know, he needed prime Dame, which ain't coming back. He needs a Chris Middleton type. Giannis needs a Chris Middleton type to help him get over the hump. Because when he has the ball, he's not a shooter. Teams are just going to back off and let him shoot. So when it's closing time, teams are like, hey, Giannis, you can shoot. You don't have anybody else who can create. You don't have anybody else around you who can shoot, create their own shot, create for others. And it just becomes him going to the hole trying to spin and dunk, and he's going to get fouled and go to the free throw line, and half the time you don't know if he's going to make it or miss it. So Milwaukee goes down. I guess I got that prediction wrong. But man, it's sad to see Dame go out like that. Achilles, I mean, KD recovered. But these injuries, they vary by person. You never know. You never know how Dame recovers from this. You never know how he comes back. I mean, you could see it the way he went down, non-contact injury. Like, it's like, oh, I'm trying to go for the ball, but I can't. So, yeah. Damn. Damn. Injuries suck. But the Bucks are old. They're going to have to, they got to figure it out. Kuzma was a no-show. Like I said, Kuzma's not a real third option if you're trying to build like a big three. He's more of a high-level role player. You know, Gary Trent played well. Kevin Porter had moments, but I think they're missing pieces, and, you know, Doc's going to get the blame, but oh well. Indiana moves on. Really good team. Pacers got a nice squad. I think I underrate their defense. They play really good defense. They can get in your stuff when they want to, right? They give you the illusion that they're just an offensive team still. But when the Pacers want to play defense, they really, really lock up. And they can lock up really well. Andrew Nembhard is impressive. He plays probably the best defense on the team, at least on the perimeter. He gets up in your jump. And he makes you work for it. He got offensive game more than I thought. So the Pacers got a nice young team. Rick Carlisle's a hell of a coach. They can score the basketball. I still think they're very one-dimensional on offense. They don't really go inside like no post game, but I guess that's the NBA nowadays. So if you don't have anybody like the Joker to force them to have to, you know, do something in the paint to defend the paint, if all you're doing is trying to jack threes, run pick and rolls with the Pacers, They could play that game all day long. That's what they want. They're like, let's roll, baby. They want to run up and down. Like, they push the ball, like, on makes and misses. So if you think you're going to go with the Pacers and play their game, try to beat them at shooting threes, you're wrong. Probably the only team who could do that is the Celtics. Knicks-Detroit. Man, Detroit could have went to a game seven, but they're young. They're inexperienced. How the hell they gave up that lead in game six? So the Knicks move on. Listen, my preview of the series, I feel like, was spot on. Was spot on. Knicks move on 4-2. Detroit got a squad, man. Ausar Thompson. He got a squad. He's their Andre Iguodala. Kay Cunningham, obviously, is going to have to learn how to play big boy playoff basketball. It's playoff basketball. You got to be ready to play every game, bro. Tobias Harris, in the playoffs, you know, neither here nor there. Sometimes he'll show up, sometimes he won't. You can't really count on that. Jalen Duren, he's got the polish more offensively. But these boys are coming. Jamie Bickerstaff had these boys playing. Like, listen, I don't know what else to say. They were young and experienced, and it showed. New York played great at times, but they should have gotten beat. An experienced team would have beaten the Knicks, would have took them out. So they got lucky, and they moved on. Jalen Brunson is still that guy. Tough bucket after tough bucket. You can't discount big body Brunson. All right? So the Knicks got a squad, nothing to play with. But Detroit probably should have at least went to seven games. And a better team, like a more experienced team, like, might have taken that series. Because there were times where the Knicks didn't really – Detroit make the Knicks like they weren't really that good. So Jaden Ivey comes back for Detroit. I don't know if Beef Stew or whatever his name is, you know, what his deal is. He's constantly injured now. But Detroit has a nice – shout out to the Pistons on a great year. Y'all got a nice squad, all right? So I feel like the future's bright for Detroit. But the Knicks move on 4-2 on that series. So that was round one, all right? Round two, all right? Let's get it. Playoff basketball. Round two, we got Cavs and Pacers, Boston and the Knicks, Denver versus OKC, and Minnesota versus the Warriors. All right, round two picks. Let's go. I got the Cavs beating the Pacers in six. I actually watched the first game. Pacers won. So the Cavs will beat the Pacers in six if Darius Garland plays. All right? If Darius Garland doesn't play, then it's bad. Okay? Because they don't really have any other player who's really a creator to set people up, control the pace. Like, Donovan can go, but he can go get his own. He's not much of a creator. Darius Garland can actually set people up, run the right play, make sure this guy gets the ball, that guy can, like, organize an offense. The things that we take for granted in today's NBA because we think, well, anybody who can handle can. Nah, man. Darius Garland is actually a PG. He can run the point. He can score, but he can actually run the point. And they missed him clearly against a team like the Pacers, their inability to actually create and run true sets. Besides, hey, Donovan, go score. All right? So if he doesn't play, they're going to get taken out. But if he plays, the Cavs will beat the Pacers in six. But it's going to be a good series. High octane, back and forth, high scoring. I would not be surprised if the Pacers win the series, all right? But I'm picking the Cavs in six. Boston versus the Knicks. I just watched game one. The Knicks won an overtime thriller. The problem with Boston, as much as I'm picking them to win the championship, Boston is they're still overly reliant on a damn three-point shot. They missed like 45 or damn near 50 three-pointers. In one game, a record-setting number of three-point misses, Boston Celtics? How, bro? Do something else. If it ain't falling, that's what I can't stand about the modern NBA. These teams, if they ain't hitting threes, they are useless. lucky for Boston, they could still defend. And they made some timely baskets. But, bro, find some inside game, man. I can't stand it. They just kept jacking shots. And that allowed the Knicks to come back because there was no variety, no different offensive sets to get different looks. It was just, hey, pick and roll, you know, step back three. Jason Tatum took about 10 step back threes that were dumb as hell, especially when you're not hit. Do something else. Your game is too varied. You're too great offensively to just sit there taking step back threes against Jalen Brunson? What? So Boston has the better squad. They should win. They should win. I don't expect this series to be as close as this first game was. So I would pick Boston to win in five, to be honest. Six at the most. Boston should take this series. Six at the most. But really, I think Boston should take this series in five. Even after game one. Because they can defend. They can defend, I think, more consistently and better than the Knicks. The Knicks did defend great in game one. But I don't see them able to keep that up. I don't see Boston shooting like that the rest of the series. If they do, hey, anything goes. But I don't see Boston shooting like that the rest of the series. All right? Jalen Brunson is still Jalen Brunson. Clearly, he's still doing his thing. If I'm Boston, I'm forcing everybody else to beat me. I'm sorry. I know OG played great. But can OG pull that in for four straight games? I don't know. I don't know, because OG kind of carried. I ain't gonna front with you. Yeah, Jalen played great late. You know, he made some tough buckets, but OG kind of carried it. All right? So that's how this series is gonna play out. Boston should beat them in five or six. I don't think it's as evenly matched as game one looked, but we'll see. All right? I don't know if the Knicks defense was so great. It was more so Boston taking some tough, bad shots. And if you're bricking, do something else for the love of God. Denver and OKC. Whew! This is a tough one. This is a tough one, Denver and OKC. But you know what? OKC has no defense for the Joker. He should follow Hartenstein, and they ain't got nobody else for him. They damn sure ain't gonna put Chet on. Aaron Gordon is too physical for Chet. Shea is unstoppable still. Denver has no answer for him. Denver has no bench. OKC is deeper. Denver has suspect outside shooting. So look at all these negatives for Denver, right? They can't stop Shea. They have no bench. They're not as deep as OKC. OKC is much deeper, a bunch of two-way players. And they really have no outside shooting outside of Michael Porter Jr., who got a hurt shoulder. Having said all that, I got Denver in six. Denver's going to be OKC in six games. Bookmark. Here's why. Like I said, they have no defense for the Joker, and Gordon is too physical. This is going to play out. This series is going to play out like last year's series against the Mavericks OKC series. Because Daniel Gaffer and Derek Lively, the way they played, they grabbed all the rebounds. They were just overwhelmingly too big. I think Denver is going to overwhelm with their size, with the Joker and Aaron Gordon and their physicality. And they're going to make OKC look small. And as a result, I got Denver winning in six, y'all. Upset City. That's my upset pick of the second round. I think Denver takes out OKC in six. They're just too big. They have zero answer for the Joker. Nobody does. But the problem is Joker is going to foul out and get your team in foul trouble. He's not just going to score and pass and do all these things. He's also going to get you in foul trouble. Jamal Murray's going to do Jamal Murray things. Russ is going to bring the energy. Bron is going to make his hustle plays. I like Denver in six. That's my upset pick. Bookmark it. Minnesota and go to State. This would have been a tough pick if I hadn't already picked Minnesota to make a run early in the year. If I hadn't picked Ant to be, you know, MVP and to be the next Jordan and Kobe, like, I'm sticking to my guns. Minnesota at 6. Hey, Golden State ain't going on like some scrubs. They're not. But I think the youth of Anthony Edwards, his physical prowess, his mindset, he ain't Jalen Green. He's going to keep coming at Jimmy or whoever's guarding him. I think Minnesota has a better team, have a deeper team. I think they can defend still when they want to. Randall can play with physicality, so he doesn't mind bully ball. The question is, how are they going to defend Steph? Are they going to do the we're face guarding Steph and he can't touch the ball, or are they going to let him go off and clamp everybody else? Houston took a different approach. We'll let everybody else shoot and we'll clamp Steph. We'll see how Minnesota defends, but I got Minnesota in 6. I think they're the better team. I think Ant shows again that he's the next guy. He's the next Jordan, Kobe clone guy. Again, I think Julius Randle's been playing some great basketball. Rudy's height will become a problem, even though they're going to try to pick and roll them to death and iso him on Steph. I hope not. Minnesota's going to have to trap those pick and rolls when it happens. Jimmy is still playoff. Jimmy's something to prove against Minnesota, I guess. You could say that. It's been so long ago, I don't know. But some people say he has something to prove against Minnesota. But in the end, I like Minnesota to beat Golden State in 6 games. Anthony Edwards lives on. Carries them to the next round. So round 2, my predictions. Bookmark it. We'll revisit. I got Cavs beating the Pacers, if Darius Garland plays. I got Boston beat the Knicks, 5. I got Denver upsetting OKC. And I got Minnesota beating Golden State in 6. Those are my picks. Lock them in. We'll check back after the series are over. All right? Good basketball, though, y'all. If you're not watching the NBA, listen, again, I talk about the NBA and what it's lacking as much as anybody. But this has been some really, really good basketball. Dudes are defending. The refs are letting them play. They're getting physical. They're talking. This is 90s, early 2000s ball they're playing right now. Why they can't do this in the regular season, I don't know. But I'll take what I can get, all right? So playoffs continue. Tune in. But I'm going to holler at you guys next time. This has been fun. The basketball has been fun. Keep watching. Keep tuning in, share, you know, like, comment, like I said, you know, all these things. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me for a few minutes, but I will catch you guys next time. I'm Mike. It's Sports in a Real Shit. You guys be good. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's the shot. I'm going straight to the top.